Good morning, Bethany, friends and neighbors. First, I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. I hope it's a good one for you. Just want to let you know that we are trying out some new technology this morning, and it should all go smoothly, but we ask for grace if it doesn't quite happen the way we want. And so we're going to get into our service this morning. Beth Metcalf has prepared a children's message for us. And after that, Garrett Roller is going to read scripture for us. So, and we appreciate so much their being a part of the service this morning.
Hello, church family. Happy Mother's Day. We have Brantley and Grayson here helping us do a fun Mother's Day activity. We have come outside with some sidewalk chalk. We are drawing a flower on our patio. So, kids, grab your mom and take your mom or your grandma or your aunt or some special lady in your life and take her outside and draw a flower on the sidewalk. If it's raining or if you don't want to go outside or you don't have sidewalk chalk, you can do this with a paper and markers, but we're doing it with sidewalk chalk because it's beautiful. So we're drawing a flower on the pavement. Once you finish drawing the flower, then you can say a couple things that you just love about your mom, ways you feel so blessed. So Brantley, what's one thing that you could write in the flower, in the petals, about how wonderful your mom is?
She's great.
She's great. So Brantley could take it and he could write, he colored in his flower there, but he could write, "Mom is great." He's gonna get a different color. Grayson, what could you say about mom?
I just love my mom because she helps me a lot. That's why I love her so much, and I make a cause a lot for her.
He does. I'm a very, very blessed mommy. But he could write "helpful" in there. So as Brantley and Grayson write that, we just want to say a little prayer with you guys. Jesus, we thank you so much for our moms today. We are so blessed by everything that our moms give to us. And there's probably no way that we could tell our moms how much we truly, truly love them. But we are thankful, we are blessed, and we love our moms. Boys, can you say Happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day!
Have a good one.
The reading for this week is from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves.
Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your scripture read aloud, and as we consider it, as we ponder it in our hearts, Lord, be with us in our meditations. Let my words be your words. Let my message be your message. Amen. Well, there were a couple of friends, Bob and Earl, who were just huge baseball fans. They had been friends for a long, long time and their entire adult lives. And so in the wintertime, they would discuss baseball history. And when baseball season starts, they would, you know, analyze the box scores, and they would watch the major league games on TV, and they went to the local minor league baseball games through the summer and into the fall. And they even agreed that if one of them died, the other one, that one would come back and let the other one know if there was baseball in heaven. So one summer night, after watching a Red Sox game, Bob passed away in his sleep. And since he was a Red Sox fan and they had won, he died a happy man. But a few nights later, his buddy Earl awoke to the sound of Bob's voice coming from the beyond. And Earl said, "Bob, is that you?" And Bob said, "Of course it's me." And Earl said, "This is unbelievable. So tell me, is there baseball in heaven?" And he said, "Well, I have some good news and bad news for you. Which do you want to hear first?" He said, "Well, tell me the good news first." And he said, "Well, the good news is that, yes, there is baseball in heaven, Earl." "Oh, that's wonderful. So what's the bad news?" "You're scheduled to pitch tomorrow night." Well, there are a lot of jokes about heaven, what heaven would be like, and we imagine different things, different scenarios. And in our scripture this morning, Jesus is talking to his disciples about what's coming next. This scripture takes place after Jesus has had, in John's gospel, after Jesus has had his last meal with his disciples, after he's washed their feet, and then he gives kind of his farewell address, is the way I think about it, his final instructions before he is leaving his disciples behind. And I think of it kind of like the final instructions we used to give our kids when they were teens, and we would leave home, leave them home alone for a few days while my husband and I would go to annual conference. And, you know, we'd tell them, "Look after the cats, no wild parties, no bonfires in the backyard, or no fires, period. And remember to put the trash out, and here's $40 in case of an emergency." Well, Jesus' instructions were more like, "Love one another, don't let your hearts be troubled, and we will see one another again." Well, maybe the situation with my kids was a little different. He didn't have to tell them not to set anything on fire. But Jesus is getting ready to leave them, and he's getting them prepared for what comes next, what comes next that they can't quite imagine. And essentially he's saying, "I'm going, but I won't be gone. I won't see you for a while, but we will see one another again." Well, as I was thinking about the script, makes me think about Thomas, who doesn't hesitate to object to some of the things that Jesus is saying. Not to the fact that Jesus is going, but that Jesus says they know where he is going. And Jesus replies, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God the Father, in other words, is the destination, and Jesus is the way, the path to get there. And so we think about, what does that mean to go to God the Father? And what does Jesus mean when he says he's prepared a place for us? Well, while we were on vacation last January, we went to see the World War I movie, 1917. It was a terrible movie to see on vacation. It was gritty and bloody and violent. But, and that's maybe just my own preference, that I think that when you go on vacation, you should watch movies that are funny and lighthearted. But I will say that it was a good movie. And one of the reasons I wanted to see it was because, and this will really show how old I am, my grandfather fought in World War I. He was a blacksmith for the cavalry. So I was curious about what the movie would be like and how it would depict the war, because my grandfather never talked about it. This was my mother's father. And if the movie was anything like the war itself, it explains why my grandfather was such a tough cookie. Sam Mendes, who directed 1917, based the movie on a story that his grandfather told him about his service during World War I. And Mendes works to recreate the horrors of trench warfare during what was once called the Great War, the war to end all wars. The movie follows two young soldiers who are given a nearly impossible mission to cross no man's land, that area between the enemy forces, in order to go and warn British soldiers that the attack they're planning will lead them into a trap set by the Germans. And so these two young soldiers travel through a nightmare landscape filled with death and decay. Every tree stands leafless against the sky. Every building is in ruins or smoking and as it's bombed and burned for a century. And the words to the song go like this. I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world below. There is no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. So I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home. It's a heartbreaking song in the context of the movie, because we know that the young Lance Corporal wants more than anything to see his home in England again. Instead, he is surrounded by a bleak and war-torn landscape. His trek, in which he has encountered one danger after another, reminds us how far he is from home, his wife and child, how far safety is distant from him. And so, as we hear the words of this song and imagine a place with no sickness, toil, nor danger, we think, now that would be paradise for this young man. The song itself, Wayfaring Stranger, has an interesting history, and I won't go into all of it, but this spiritual was actually a hit single for Emmylou Harris, and it reached the top 10 on the charts early in her career. It has been sung by a variety of artists. It was earlier a hit for Burl Ives, and it's also been performed by Bill Munro, Nico Case, and Johnny Cash, so a diverse set of artists. But the song's premise is that we are all strangers on this earth, separated from our true home, and our main goal is to reach our heavenly home. Now, I have mixed feelings about that train of thought, I confess. I love the song. It has a haunting melody to it, and I encourage you to go and Google it and watch a YouTube video of this song being sung. But for the theology of it, and I know many people have grounded their theology in this idea that our heavenly home is beyond this one. The problem I have is if we all lived as though the earth and all that is in it is just a backdrop on the road to heaven, I think we end up ignoring the very creation that God placed us in and called good. But if we go to the other extreme of grounding ourselves completely in this world, we miss the comfort of knowing that God's plans for us are greater than we can completely comprehend or imagine. Jesus says to his disciples, "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" I love the idea of a home being prepared for me, a home that's a place of safety and comfort. In an impromptu survey that I did of what people associate with feeling at home, the number one answer was having a sense of safety and freedom from danger. And the second was having connection and community with family members. I had a district superintendent who was retiring, and his wife was so thrilled that they were going to be moving into their very own home. She had lived in parsonages her whole life. Her father was a Methodist minister, and she'd grown up moving from parsonage to parsonage. And then she married a minister and went right on living in parsonages. A parsonage can feel like home, but there's always a sense that one is adapting to someone else's house. And Elaine was thrilled when she had a home of her own that she could fill with her own furniture, and she didn't have to ask permission to make changes to it. For her, home meant plenty of closet space, rocking chairs on the front porch, and no one objecting if she changed the curtains. But notice that Jesus is not just talking about a home or a home away from home. He begins his discourse with, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Notice three words, any of which are worthy of emphasis. First, the word troubled. The word evokes in the imagination a troubled sea that's churning and tossing with unrest and confusion. And Jesus doesn't say, "Do not let your hearts be grieved," or "Do not let your hearts be sad." He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't be cast down and disquieted." And second, he uses the word heart. Although many places are filled with trouble, although your family and flock might be troubled, let not your hearts be troubled. Keep your heart as your main fortress. Whatever you do, keep trouble from this. Keep this with all diligence. Have inner resolve, Jesus says, seems to be telling us, the kind that is grounded in the knowledge that whatever trials we face, we do not face them alone. And finally, Jesus uses the word "your," telling them that you are my disciples and followers, my redeemed, my chosen one. And so he calls them into service. Even though there may be sorrow in the present time, Christ's disciples have to do more than others. They should keep their minds quiet when everything else is unquiet, and they should continue to serve. That is the tension of what Jesus is telling his disciples. He's leaving them. He's already told them that. He's told them that what will come will not be easy, but they can be resolute and steadfast, joyful even, because he has prepared a place for them. And what is more, he says a little later in the chapter that he's going to send them an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to teach them all that they need to know going forward. Well, remember that we can be assured that a place has been prepared for us, and it is a place of strength from which we can face anything that life throws at us. One of the places that felt most like home to me was my grandparents' dairy farm in Turlock, California. When we would go and visit them when we lived outside of Los Angeles, it was about a 5.5-hour drive to get there. But when we would pull up in the yard, as soon as the car stopped, my grandmother would pop out the door and rush towards us as though she didn't want to waste even a moment's time in which she could be hugging us and squeezing us and pinching our cheeks and telling us how much she loved us. She was ready to receive us with open arms the moment we arrived. And so there was a place ready for us that she had for us, not just a bed to sleep in or a meal to eat, but a joyful welcome. And that's what I imagine that place that Jesus says has been prepared for us is like that, a place where we will be received with joy. Well, when we think of home, after 8 weeks of sheltering in place, our ideas about home on this earth may have changed. After all, for many of us, home has been school and office and, well, it's even been the backdrop of newscasts and talk shows and Zoom calls. When the time comes when we can spend a little more time away from home, the world around us will be changed. It might be time to think long and hard about our place in it. We can't ignore the world around us, or at least I don't believe that that's what we're called for. Jesus sent his disciples out to work in the world and serve in the world. Yes, we are traveling through this world to a heavenly destination, but the journey is our home as well. How we live with one another as we venture out into the world again is important. But Jesus also tells us, do not let your hearts be troubled. We do not travel alone. Amen. Well, at this time, Maggie has a mission moment for us.
Hey, my friends. Maggie here for another quick at-home mission moment. So once again this week, I wanted to share with you one of the many ways that your continued financial support enables us to do the good work of loving and serving our neighbors and our community. So even though in these crazy times, many of us are stuck at home and can't go and do the things that we once did, there are many organizations that are continuing the work that they've always done, and many of them are needed now more than ever. One such organization is First Step. First Step in Harrisonburg is a domestic abuse shelter. We are so proud to support First Step and all that they are doing in our community. If you want to learn more about First Step and what they are doing, you can go to firststepva.com. Thank you for your continued giving so that we are able to support organizations such as First Step.
It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may.
For nothing can destroy it or take that love away.
It's patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking.
And it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking.
It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns.
And it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems.
It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation.
And it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation.
A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand.
And another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our tribute to our moms this morning. And of course, we want to be in prayer for all of our moms. We have a couple other prayer requests. I'm going to get to those after we have some announcements, though. We are collecting baskets. If you have some spare baskets and you want to bring them by the church, those will be sent out with things in them. And also, next Sunday, May 17th, is going to be our graduate Sunday. Paige Crawford is our graduate, high school graduate. And of course, her senior year has been just turned upside down by everything that's going on. So we want to have a chance to celebrate her. So on the 15th of May, we'd like to have folks meet in the parking lot of Karis and do a parade by our decorate cars and just have a chance to celebrate celebrate her milestone. And I'll be sending out an email later today with details. But I hope you'll join us for that. Also, I want to say a few things. We had announcement from our bishop yesterday. I know that Governor Northam had said something about churches being able to open back up. From our bishop's message, there is a slim possibility of having a very limited sort of church service on May 24th, but chances are that it'll probably be a little later than that. But we will definitely keep you posted. You'll see that in the happenings on the Facebook page, on the web page, and you can, as we find out more, we will pass that information on. And if you have other announcements, let us know. We can put them in the happenings, and I can announce them next week at our service. Well, as we prepare for a time of prayer, I want to lift up the Cole family in Dayton. The Kohler family in Dayton, because of the passing of Chris Kohler, who leaves behind a wife and two teenage daughters. So we want to be in prayer for their family. And also be in prayer for Charlie Miller, born prematurely. He is the son of Heather Pence and Alec Miller. So we want to be in prayer for that family as well. Kelly Heron's dad has been in the hospital, so keep Kelly and her family in your prayers. And Dale is having a heart procedure on Wednesday, so keep Dale in your prayers. And Linda Byers is scheduled to have a procedure as well on Friday. So we have a lot of people to pray for this week. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we come together this day and we celebrate the love that is within the home. We remember how your love was embodied in your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived among us. Lord, help us to model our love after Christ's servant love, which bows down to the most vulnerable and offers healing and life to those who are in need. Gracious God, this day we thank you for those who have been mothers to us. We know that we are all sons and daughters, and sons and daughters of you. And we pray this morning for those mothers who have gone on ahead of us, those saints in heaven. And we pray for those who miss them. Lord, we lift up every woman who is working day and night to raise children right now. And we have prayers lifted up for women who have taken in children through adoption and foster care, and we thank you for their hearts of compassion. Lord, we ask a blessing on those mothers who have endured the heartache of loss, who have lost a child and must carry on. Lord, we pray for those who have been spiritual mothers to us, those who have nurtured our faith. We pray for the women who have influenced our lives in so many ways. Lord, help us to honor them in everything we do. Lord, we continue to pray for all of those who have been affected by the coronavirus. In one way or another, it has impacted our lives. And so we ask that you would continue to show us how we might support our first responders, our nurses and our doctors, those grocery workers who continue to be out there on the front line so that we can eat and carry on our lives. Lord, we continue to lift up leaders around the world and ask that you give them wisdom so that they might make good decisions. Lord, we pray for those who are facing, who are going to have procedures this week, and lift them up so that they might receive excellent care. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give them hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life. Lord, I ask that you help us to know that we have a heavenly home, but Lord, also help us to transform the earth into your kingdom. Help us to build it here and now so that there might be justice and peace throughout the world. All this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, that is our service for this Sunday morning. I look forward to the day when I see you face to face, but until then, I hope I see you next Sunday.